Yeah, so we're holding on Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Zayin. I just thought maybe to be Yotze, for in Yonah Diyema, since we're not going to have another time before Shavuot, just to make one comment. Maybe somebody will find it helpful for good Kabbalah Sator on Shavuot. Like one of the, I would say it's two suggestions, which really come down to the one suggestion. But right, it's the concept of the Memches Kinyanei Torah, which all boil down to the fact that we want to be kind of the Torah. We want to make a kinyan in Torah. I think that one of the things today, specifically, maybe more than other generations, although I think it might be true throughout the generations, is that two things. First of all, a person needs to set goals in learning. Second thing is to create for himself some kind of metzius where he's going to see that he fulfilled his goal and be able to look back at it and say, I accomplished something, even in the future. I'll explain what I mean is that I think that to a certain degree, when a person is in yeshiva and in kail, whatever it is, so you learn, and you know, again, obviously, depending on how much a person does chazara, but over the course of time, he doesn't necessarily remember everything he learned, to put it mildly, at least in my case. And that kind of breeds very often a certain sense of yish somewhere in the nefesh ha'adam, where a person feels like, you know, he's just kind of moving forward, but he's maybe lost a lot of what he accomplished. So in a certain sense, he's not really moving forward. He's just kind of staying in the same place at all times, at least as far as feeling of chibur to the Torah, as far as his feeling of accomplishment in Torah. And then automatically that, of course, impinges on his simcha and his drive to be kind of Torah weiter, because at the end of the day, he feels like he's kind of just, treading in the same water and not really moving forward. So, first of all, a person setting specific goals, it creates that sense of accomplishment accomplishes that goal. So, for example, this, by the way, is true not just for a guy in Kohel or in Yeshiva. This is true for a balabas as well. If a person wants to feel a chibur to Torah and a connection, psychologically we need to feel the investment and the dividends from that investment, that we put time into something and we came out with something from it. Let's say a person's working, right, and he says, okay, you know what, I'm going to put my time, or I'm going to set aside a certain amount of time, that I'm going to make a kinyan hilchus tefillah. Okay, so he'll take the Shulchan Aruch, the Shabruah, whatever level he wants to learn it on, and he'll make that his focus, so that there's no. Once you do that, you don't really have extra time. You're always focused on getting that specific goal. That's like the real kviyas itim latar, if you want to say it, is that you were kaveya over there. It's kaveya ace, but you kaveya alima is also it's a connection. That is my kviyas. That's where I'm centered. That's where I'm focused. That's first of all gives you that feeling of you're not just in the air as far as the Torah goes. You're not just like, okay, today we'll learn this, blah, blah, blah. That's part of, by the way, why Daf Yomi was so successful, is that it gives that feeling of accomplishment to people, that they feel that they're learning daf after daf, getting masechta, and they feel like they're accomplishing goals as they move on. Whereas if a person was just taking, not that this is a problem, but for some people it's not as fulfilling. You took a gemara and you just kind of worked without any specific pace. it just is difficult for people. You know, there are people that are more self-driven, maybe, if you want to call it that, that they can do that and get an excitement and happiness. And there are people that do that. There are people that say, no, I don't want to learn Daf Yomi. I want to learn, you know, Maseches Bava Kamma, and I want to learn it. And that's good for that person. But everybody has to find, everybody has to set the goals that are in tune with their own nefesh, their speed, their capabilities, etc. But the second part of what I said is that as per the forgetting that goes on, of course, with the Chazar, and it's always a question of, you know, how much do you Chazar before or alongside going further? How does one do that? But the assumption is that most people don't have that same. I remember when I was learning, when I learned Yeridea, so we took when Bechina on Yeridea. So I remember that the Bechin said to us that, you know, you right now know Yeridea better than most Rabbanim that are currently paskening. It's like a very scary thought, you know? But it's a mitzvah that, you know, at that time you're in the sugyas, you're mamish breathing, living, in every, you know, that's all there is, that's what you're working on. And whereas a rav, okay, he's passing it, but he's not, most of them are not constantly continuously reviewing. There are those workshops that do, but it's not necessarily done by everyone. You know, they want to see other parts of the Torah, they want to see, you know, they're busy, whatever it is. So when you're into the sugya, when you're in there, right, you're making a certain chibur, and you're making a certain kinyan at that point, but you want to keep it going afterwards, you want to have something afterwards. So one of the things that a person can do to give that sense of, you know, like, I feel that if you, at some point, a person looks back and says, you know, I learned this, I learned that, I learned this, and I learned that, and I barely remember any of those. What do I do now? To go back in Chazara, so we know, Kashin Atikim Mechate, to Chazara the old is more difficult than learning it new. Right? You don't have that same excitement, perhaps. You know, there's other reasons, maybe. But how can we maybe kind of avoid that feeling of, it's also psychologically crushing. So how do we avoid that? I think one of the ways is for a person, you know, let's say would makes sikumim, right? A person does, you know, makes a small summaries. So it does two things. First of all, it kind of reminds the guy that, you know, I really worked on this. And it's there. It's there before your eyes. Your sikumim remain. It's once you've lost it in your head, it's gone. But like, I know it sounds funny, like it's in a book, you know, it's on paper, but what's that? What does that help if it's not in you? But no, it does help to a certain, it does help. First of all, it's not lost from the world, okay? If it was in the head, yeah, it could be now, somebody else could have enough from it, whether it's you yourself. And that's part of what I wanted to say also, that itself helps for Chazar, that you can Chazar over the same material that you learned years ago. If you made good sikumim, if you made good summaries, you're able to go fly through it much faster, and you get back into it much, much quicker than if you're going to re-chazer it, you know, from scratch. And the second thing is that other people can have enough from it also. Sometimes, you know, I personally, I give like an example. I had a Seder Musar once in the Sefer Yisra'el Shalev, and it was a very, very, it's written by Rabbi Shua Tzvi Michal Shapira, Zeichet Tzadok Kodesh Rebracha. So, he was the author of the Tzitz HaKodesh, and he was Talmud Muvuk of the Zeis Ra'anon, and after the Zeis Ra'anon was Nifti, himself a Talmud of Rishu Leib Diskin. But Rishu Leib Diskin, when people would come to Rishu Leib Diskin for Yeshua, they would send him to Rav Shmuel Shapiro. So I literally 15-minute a day Moser Seder, I did in that Sefer till I finished the Sefer. But the Sefer was very, very, I guess you would say messed up physically, like the print was terrible. There was missing words and missing lines and missing, it was like a lot of, and plus there was other work that I felt that should be done because it wasn't clear where the Sefer is going. So as I was learning, I made myself like an outline of where it's going, like kind of like you know, the points, and then, you know, I turned that into chapters, like, because there was no names of the chapters, there was even no breakup of paragraphs for the most part. So I did like all this like technical work just to make the Sefer clearer to me, to you know, and I just literally had an outline of summaries of my own. And then I said to myself, you know what? I did all this, like, I could help other people. The Sefer hadn't come out for many years. Like, we could help other people. So that's what I did. I tried to get a poem, Baruch, whatever. I published it through Avat Shalom, through Yaakov Hills. You know, so I had, and at the same time, as I was learning, I had put like different footnotes to auras of mine, etc. And then the Maisa put it out. So it's literally, it was a 15 minutes a day Musa Seder, which, okay, it could have done something, you know, and I call whatever it is, but at least, but now the world has to gain from that 15 minute day. I will admit that when you get to put the Sefer out, then there's a lot more work after that 15 minutes. But nevertheless, certainly the base of it is there. And the same thing is with, you know, any other limudim that a person does. You'd be surprised that once you start to write things down, you'd be surprised how, like, you know, much other people can actually benefit from it, even if you don't feel you're any big man da'amar of any sort. And you might not be. And sometimes that's dafka the best help to another person, is when you have like a more simple, you know, so you break it down in that way, and then, oh, that other finds, you know. Again, this is just one dogma. Other people might get a certain, it might help, like if a person's able to find some kind of misgarah to give a shir in that material, you know, you find like a group, even if it's two guys, three guys, or a balabas to learn with, and you give over that material that you learned. But that's a way of being makna and giving that sense of accomplishment, that it didn't just like get lost, but you're, you know, you've kept it up, you've done something with it, or it's there, you have something to point to. You can think of other ideas. I'm just giving, it's just slight, you know, the people that do tests in the Rabbanut, when they, let's say, learning their day of Heshmishbar, or do Kenyan and Dirshu tests, or the, you know, whatever. All these types of things kind of give a person a sense of accomplishment, like, okay, I got something done, and that sense of accomplishment is very, very important for keeping a person energized in learning over the course of his whole life. Be'ez Hashem, you know, a person shouldn't chas shalom peter out, which happens all too often. Again, it's not neged to a person specifically in Kailu or Yeshiva. It's neged to every single person, even a balabas. We have Baruch Hashem, there are Balabatim that put out unbelievable Sfarim. You know, it's more common maybe nowadays in America, because there it's like, you know, a person doesn't feel like he went off the derech if he went to work. But here you had, for example, given you had one of the big Deile Talmidei Chacham, who's very famous specifically around Hilchos HaTlus Baaretz, Rav Yosef Lieberman, author of the Mishnas Yosef. Does anyone? Yeah. Anybody learned Shvias? He was one of the first Chashuv Svarim on Shvias. And till today, he's should live and be well. Now, he put a shut that I don't even know where it's holding today, like 15 volumes, which is on Hilchos HaTlus Baaretz. And then on Or Chaim, he put out a few Svarim in Kabbalah. And he was a person that worked. And today, I think he's officially maybe the Rish Kail of Shemir Chaymas or something like that. But he was a person that worked his life as an architect. Matter of fact, if there were some signs in Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph, at least, I don't know what's going on in Gimel, but I have Yud Lieberman, that's the architect. That's his company. He worked it. And alongside working as a successful architect,
Yaakov Bloy.
Huh? Yaakov Bloy, right. Yaakov Bloy, a banker, and he wrote the most Chashuv Svarim, Chayshe Mishpan, and Ribbis, and Chinuch, and other, you know, Mezuzah, yeah. So, but, and that's because a person says, okay, you know, I'm working, whatever it is, but the rest of the time, he puts for himself goals, and written goals, and you see, like, you know, you just work at it slowly but surely, you start to produce gavaldiga things, which are not just good for you, but good for the world as well. So I think that as just also maybe just give that Eitz HaTeva before Shavuos, a person might want to try to think about this type of a thing, like setting goals in the different areas that the person's learning, and perhaps figuring out a way how to solidify those goals into something more solid that he can look back on, or maybe be helpful to others as well. Just a suggestion. Okay, so now we'll go to back to Mishlei. Perek Beis, Pasuk Yudayim. So the Shlomo HaMelech is talking about learning, right, the Chachma Musa to save you, Lahatzilcha, we learned in Pasuk Tazayin, to save you, Latzilcha Meisha Zara, Mi Nochriya, Amorea Hechelika, to save you from the strange woman, from the from the non-Jew, if you want to say it, from the stranger, complete stranger, that her words are slippery and tricky, which we learned from the Gra, right, that this is a reference, Zara, Isha Zara, and Nafri has a reference to two different types of Taiva, and that is Taiva and Chemda. Taiva, we learned, is just some physical lust, which has no place for a Jewish person. And that's why it's called Nochriya. It's like non-Jewish. There has we're above that. We're above physical lusts. But then there's Chemda, which is non-physical, and that's the desire to have, let's say, money and nice clothes and nice houses, and those are things that are not physical in their pleasure. They're kind of non-physical pleasures, but they're kuli olam hazeh based, and they're not be'etzim problematic. It's not be'etzim problematic like we saw to be wealthy or to have a nice house or to have nice clothes, but the problem is being wrapped up in it, right? Where the person's on the chase for it, like he said. That's the danger of Chemda, is that it's, in that sense, even worse than Taiva, is that it just takes up the person's every moment, every waking minute. Whereas Taiva, you know, hey, the guy finishes eating his due or whatever it is, he has his for that. Okay, at least now there's a pause in it till he rebuilds his Taiva for the next, right? But Chemda, it's just never ending, and it comes with anger. So that was the that pasuk, and now this pasuk Yitzayin is a continuation of that, according to the way the Gra is mafash. Ha'izeves aluf nu'ura, she leaves the I don't know exactly how to translate that, but she it really means the husband or the love of her youth. Okay, she leaves like the husband of her youth. Ves bris Eloheha Shachecha, and she forgot the pact with her God, right? The bris with her God. So says the Gra, Ha'izeves aluf ne'ureh, hu neged isha zara. This parallels the isha zara. Okay, now the isha zara, we said, was the chemda, right?
Taiva.
No, it was Chemda. It was Chemda. Because it's not be'etzim a problem. It's just you have to have the right one. Right. And the Taiva, that has no place for us Jewish people. So he says, Hu neged isha zar, shetachas isha tikach zarim. Then instead of her husband, she takes strangers. Vayzev says, Ba'alo shu aluf nura. And she leaves her husband, who's the aluf of her youth. I don't know if the modern-day Hebrew translation, aluf, a champion, right? I don't know if that's so accurate or not, but it's I guess it's not off, at least, in the idea.
It's like an authority, no? Like aluf is more like in some sort of someone who's an authority over you or something? No?
I don't know. Oh, that's in the army you're talking about.
Aluf, Ashkenaz, aluf, this. It goes like the embracious.
Right.
Generals.
They're like generals. Right. Sefer Bereishis, the Aluf, right. Ves bris Eloheha Shachecha, says the Goyin, Hu neged anochriya, sho izeves mino va'amo, mizdabekes ba'am acher.
You don't have anything between? No.
You have that? No. Okay. So we'll read it without it. So bris eloheha shachecha, that is the paralleling the nachriya that leaves, like she's a complete stranger to the nation. She's not just she's not married, you know, she's taking other men, but she's bechlal not part of the nation. She'izeves mina, she leaves her type, the amo, and her people, umistabekes ba'am acher, and she cleaves, attaches herself to another nation. Now, here there should be a period in my Masarav Cook edition over here. At least I don't have the most updated one. There's like a comma. It's very confusing to read. But really, this now v'hainu, the Gra now goes back and explains what he just said. So he like restarts v'hainu. Neged achochma shirol dif ve'enu noch v'loy shoket yoyim v'laylo. Keneged the chemda, right, that he chases. Put that right. We said that that's the characteristic is that something that he yearns for, these like, you know, fancy house, a lot of money, whatever. He chases that, and he doesn't rest, and he's not quiet, not day, not night. Ki gam b'layla le'shachav liboy. Because at night also his heart doesn't sleep. The chol yom of all his days, b'kas u'machovim, he's upset, and his pains. It's like, it's not, you know, it looks very nice to be maybe a millionaire or whatever it is, but it comes with a tremendous amount of anger and pain. You get upset when the stocks go down, and you get upset when this one messed you up, and when this, you know, there's a lot of parts of it that are not so much fun. Kol Yomav says they're going bekas of machoivim, in anger and pain. Vayzeves is aluf nureel. So she leaves her aluf of, right, the aluf of youth. She a Torah, which is a reference to the Torah. She ain't tzarich lanua tamid achazeh. That the Torah, you don't have to always like move after it. Ela adarabo. For Torah, it's just you need the opposite. Leishib b'menucha, to sit relaxed with shalom and in peace. Va'ashkit va'vetach, you know, calmly at home. You sit and learn. It's geshmak. You don't have to run anywhere. V'lchein k'siv aluf shu atar. And therefore, it uses the word aluf as a reference to Torah. Why? K'moshe kosev a'alefcha chochma. Like the pasuk says, I will teach you chochma. So a'alefcha, right? Like the lashon in Aramis, right? The alfusa, the lashon of like leilef, to learn.
Aleph,
right? Aleph is a lashon of learning. So that refers to the Torah. So ha'alizeves aluf nureh is the chemda, right, that causes a person to leave the Torah. You're out, right, chasing. You don't have time to sit home and learn. Ve'ez bris eleheh ha'shechecha. And then the second part of the pasuk, that her, the bris of her God, she'll forget. Hu neged ha'nachriya. That's again connected to the nachriya. Shehi ha'taiva, which is the loss, the physical loss. She yoshiv bebeisiv v'royal amalos tavosa, like the Goyin said in the previous pasuk, the derech of a bal taiva of some of the taiva, he wants to stay home and fills his taiva over there at home. So this person is going to forget the bris of his God, shein tayag mitzvus, which it refers to the tayag mitzvus, the kulal and nichlalim be bris, and all the tayag mitzvus are nichlal in the bris. As it says, shkula mila keneged v'chulei. Right? It says the mila is keneged, is equal to all the tayag mitzvahs. Ki achana, why is she going to forget? Right? If a person follows the taiva, why is that going to bring to forgetting God? Ki achana mitzvahs tzarch lirdov she'emotzu biyod la'asoysan. The opposite of the Torah. For Torah, you sit and you sit and learn. But for mitzvahs, you have to chase the mitzvahs. She'emotzu biyod la'asoysan. That the mitzvahs should be in your hand to do them. Mitzvahs don't come to you. You have to go and find them. Whereas this guy is sitting at home, he's not right chasing after mitzvahs, right? Adrabo, he's sitting at home and just indulging in his physical lusts. Ain mitzvah b'al yodeh, and no mitzvah comes to his hand. So that it just comes at, like, de facto, the person is going to forget the pact, the bris, with his God. Because if the person does not Isaac and mitzvahs, which is the bris with Hashem, the mele, he's just going to forget it because it's not in his face anymore. It's not there anymore. So these are two like kind of like opposite phenomena. Okay. Weiter, kishocha el moves beisav el refa'i magaleisa, because he like bend his house or like towards death. Vel refa'im magaleisa, and to the refa'im, which we'll see what that means, like maybe kind of like a Gehenna, maybe it's all its pathways, magaleisa, we saw it like pathways, its roots. So says the Goyin, ki shocha moves beisa gam keneged taiva. That's also keneged taiva. She yoshvim bebeisim v'royim l'malos tavosim. They're sitting home and seeing to fill all their taivas. Him sheichin is beisim el moves. So they're lowering their houses. They're like lowering their houses to death. Because the guy who's sitting and learning, and he's Isaac in Torah, which is life, like the Pasuk says, that the Torah is your life, and they're sitting home, but instead, they're being Isaac in their taiva to fill their taiva, and they're not busy in Torah. Therefore, they're taking their house, which is where they're situated, right? That's the Baal Taiva situated home all the time. And they're lowering it and bending their bias to the mavis, they're lowering it to the death. Instead of what they should be doing the opposite, which is to life, which is the Torah.
Before he was talking about staying home as opposed to mitzvah. Now he's talking about staying home. But yeah. For this, he's supposed to stay home for Torah.
Staying, right. The El Rifai Magal Yisrael, who neged a roid fim tamanach ha-moment. This is connected to people that are always on the chase after money. Umayvel schayr l'chol medina, and they bring merchandise to every medina, to every state or country, whatever. Shabbalot tarah mitzvah sein kvedim alav. They're the most unbelievably energetic people. When it comes to business, they're all over the place. They don't sit still. They're all over the place, mamish. But when it comes to tarah mitzvah, it's too heavy for me. I just don't have the guy. It's too heavy for them. And he's also weakens himself from keeping himself, guarding himself from Averis. That's what it means, Vel Refoim. It's a reference to the people that are weak. They weaken themselves from the Torah and its mitzvahs. Shom Yu Magalaysel. There, their pathways will. Right, but we said it's not straight pathways. Magal says like a circling pathway. What he's always circling around, to bring merchandise. Right, it's not like it doesn't go in a straight line. He's running around. Right, the same lashon that we use, running around. That's Magal Yisrael. He's always running around to make money. And those redifas that he's always running around, they're going to lead him to the kahal, the community of refim, of weak people. That through this he weakens himself from divrei Torah and mitzvahs, because he's tired from all the traveling, all the work he's put into his business. And refim and mavis refer to misa and karis. The chain acha misa, and also after misa, they refer to seid misa v'gehenim. The chain modem haba. So these concepts of mavis and refoim have a number of different expressions, if you want to say it like that. Misa and karis, and also misa the gehenim. Not 100% sure which one is which, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, refoim, mavis is misa, and the refoim is going to be the karis, or the, certainly gehenim refoim, because we find that in Chazal. We'll stop here, because it's... should we do one more pasuk maybe? How much time do I have?
It's coming in a minute.
In a minute? Okay. So, what's that? Yeah. But not right away. Eilam Habo, there's a pause. Gan Eden, Gehenim, and then after that is Eilam Habo. Yeah.